All right. I want to thank you all very much in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for allowing us to come. Thank you so much, Brother Ken, for opening the way and scheduling this. It's a great blessing and opportunity for this. And the first half will be with Miguel. And this is to show, you know, in case you would ever come to a place in a foreign country where you don't know any of the language, this is how in our school we teach a lot of different things, including how to start in this way. Yeah.
You can hand that to her.
No, you need this one.
I have one.
He's got it.
You have
it here.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, unfortunately, they took a lot of the stuff that I was going to say, so thank you guys for doing that for me, so I don't have to. But I did want to ask how many of you in here read the Old and New Testament in English? Okay. Ve mipo medaberit. Okay, nobody. That's interesting because the Old Testament's written in Hebrew, and none of us in here are reading it in Hebrew. We're all reading it in English. So that means that somewhere along the way, someone did something, changed things from being only in that language to being something that we speak, that we can read every day. And I know for me, a big part of the main part of my journey with the Lord, getting to know Him, has been my personal time reading the Bible in my language. How many of you have taken a language other than English at school? Okay, and how many of you would say that that has largely attributed to your ability to speak that language? Okay, yeah, me too. I've taken a language at school, and I don't believe that it really led me to fluency. I happened to become fluent after studying that language, but on my own time. And so, if you can imagine with me, if, like, let's say Xi Jinping, the leader of China, plotted this thing to take over the United States, and he was going to force everyone here to speak Mandarin Chinese. We all had to learn now. And the government, economics, education, everything was going to be in Mandarin from now on. And so, generations from now, our descendants would only speak Chinese. This is kind of the situation that a lot of peoples around the world are in. There are a lot of people groups that aren't like necessarily remote, but they're stuck speaking their heritage language at home. And as was mentioned already, there are more than 2,000 languages that don't have a Bible at all. And of those, about almost 400 of them are sign languages, people who are deaf, and they have no access to the Bible because they don't read a language that they don't speak. They need the Bible in the language that they speak with their hands. And on top of that, there are 1.1 billion people in the world right now that don't have the entire Bible. I read the Old Testament. I've read the entire Old Testament and the entire New Testament and continue to do so all the time. I feel it would be such a shame to not be able to have that available to me. So what you'll be seeing me do today is what Bob said we are being trained to do, where we're not going to communicate with each other at all in English, in a language that we know. I'm going to communicate to her in another language that she doesn't know, and she's going to communicate to me in a language that I know nothing about. And I'm going to show you how we begin to figure that out. It's just going to be like 15, 20 minutes of me doing this, but a linguist's field work, this is what this is, would generally be this all day long for months, years at a time, so that we could get to the point where we have that language described, we understand how that language works, and we can translate that, okay? So I'm going to go ahead and get started now. Hi, Bukhaba. Koimli Miguel. makoim lach.
Amen kere mayak. Anyang mie do emayak.
Demaya.
Emayak.
Ema aya.
Ema eyak.
Eya. Ema eya. Maya. As Maze. Banana. Maze.
Mboro.
Borom.
Mboro.
Mboro. The maze.
Unwet.
Uwe.
Unwet.
Unwe.
Unwet.
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 Wet.
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 Wet. Wet. Wet. As maze. Ale. Zale.
Mfang.
Mfa.
Mfang.
Mfang. The maze, the even.
It's yet.
It's yet.
It's yet.
Mboro. Mboro.
Mboro.
Mboro. Mwet.
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 Mwet. Mfang.
Mfang. Mfang.
Mfang. Vemaze, Evan?
Itziar.
Itziar. ואת יודעת מה זה?
נטאונן.
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 אונן.
נטאונן.
נטאונן.
Ntaunen?
Itziat.
Oh, itziat? Ha, ha. Itziat. Itziat.
Ekambe itziat. Etoge, etoge itziat.
Eto, etoge?
Etoge, etoge itziat. Ekamba itziat.
Gamba. E gamba. E gamba itzia. Ve katan, maze.
Etoge togitziat.
Etoge.
Etoge itziat. Etoge togitziat.
Etoge
togitziat. Etok, etok.
Etok, etok. Etok, etok, itzia. Beseder? Az, vemaze. Anaf.
Ikba.
Mpa.
Ikba.
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 Ikba, ikpa.
Ikba.
Ikba. Ikba.
Ikba.
Ikba.
Ikba.
Ikba.
Ba.
Ba.
Ba. Ba.
Ba.
Ikba.
Ikba. Igba ekamba. Igba. Oh, etok etok igba. Ekamba igba. Hmm. Lo katan lo. Oh, itok itok. Hmm.
Io.
Io.
Io andrò. Eto.
Eto, che to.
Eto.
Eto. Cazzar. Arroch. Eto, che to.
Agnan.
Anna.
Agnan.
Agnan. Agnan.
E camba.
Camba. Camba.
E camba. Agnan.
Ekamba?
Uh-huh.
Anyan? Ah. Anyan?
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 Ntangonen.
As Ntangonen, Ntangonen, Stem, Ntangonen,
Ntangonen,
Stem,
uh-huh.
Hmm. Shalosh,
Ntangonen, Anyan Tangonen, Etok Ntangonen,
Hmm. As Yesli, Itzia, Shalosh,
Itzia Rita.
Rita.
Itziat Ita.
Ita. Mm. Itzia, 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 itzia.
Itzia Rinang.
Renang.
Inang.
Enang.
Inang.
Inang.
Mm. Inang.
Inang. Mm. Inang. Mm. Inang. Mm. Ve.
Iba.
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 Io.
Iba.
Iba.
Ah. Iba.
Kit.
Kit. אז, ומה זה בתוך?
מונג.
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 מונג. אז.
Ameawo.
Ameawo.
Umiawo.
Umiawo.
Umiawo. Umia. Umiawo. Umia.
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 Umia,
I won't want Umia.
I won't want.
I won't want Umia.
I won't want Umia.
I won't want Umia. I won't want.
I won't
want.
Want.
Umia.
Umia. Umia. I want one.
I would in.
I want in.
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 I would in.
I want in. Mm-mm. Umia. Umia. I want in. Umia won.
Now I'm asking him. Now I'm asking him. I did. Umia.
Umia won.
Umia wooden.
Ah.
Umia wooden.
Okay. As.
Mia. Say, I don't go masking cocoa. Uncle Kongo de Ntembeme. Afo bembeme na masneram masneram mbemere mbeme arere so fo bontom mia mia woden
mia
mia
mia woden
mia
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 yo
ze bisede ze bisede bisede as Itzia.
Itzia.
Oh. Ekamba itzia.
Ekambi itzia. Ket.
Ekamba itzia ket. As. Maze.
Iko.
Iko. Iko.
Arara, Iko.
Arara.
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 Adadat.
Ara. Ara.
Adadat.
That.
Adadat.
Adadat. As maze zelo ararat.
Andi nyenyeng. Okay. Uto.
Uto. Uto. As
Uto? Mfang.
Fang.
Uto. Mfang are uto.
Uto. Mfang. Mm-hmm. Mm. Uto. Mfang.
Iyo.
Mfang. Uto.
Mfang amaru uto.
Arara mto.
Uto mfang. Iyo. Mfangam adu uto.
Mfang. Aram mto. Uto.
Mfangam adu uto.
Missed it. As. Ani. Maze. Ani holech. Holech. Holech.
Sangari.
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 Sangari. Sangari.
Sangari.
Sangari.
Sanga. Di. Sangaka.
Sangari.
Sangari. Sangaka.
Ah. Sangaka.
Sangaka.
Ka. Ve. Ani. Ani. Mong.
You mean Wang Mong? Wang Mong.
Wang Mong. As. Mia itzia.
Mia itzia.
Mia itzia. Mm-mm. Itia
Aduo
Aduo Itia Aduo Aduo
Awoduo
Awoduo
Awo Aduo
Awo Aduo Awo Awo Mia Awo Mia Umia
Awo Mia
Awo Mia Awo Aduo
Awoduo
Awo Aduo Awo
Wo. Awo Mia.
Mm-hmm. As banana. Awo. Awo. Mboro.
Awo diamboro.
Udia.
Awo adiamboro.
Adiam.
Adia.
Adia mboro.
Mm-hmm.
Adia.
Adia.
Okay, I think we're about good. I think we're all done. So, Can you tell me what your language is, where you're from?
I am from Akwa Ibom State in Nigeria.
Mm?
And my language is Anang.
Anan?
Anang.
Ana. Mm. Okay. How did I do? Did I get most of it? Yeah?
Yeah.
You can tell them I didn't do well. It's okay.
No. He got most of it.
Yeah. Good. So this would be what it is. It's just going to go on for much longer than this. A constant, like, I'm making hypotheses as I go, and then I'm correcting them. You saw me, like, change things all the time, go back to other things and rewrite them. Over here, I have the order of a sentence. It's just like in English. So we would have the subject, the person who's doing the action, then the action, and then the receiver of the action. So I hit him was the same order in her language. And then over here, I have the order of the way that the words that change a noun are in relation to that noun. So the size comes first, and then the number comes after. And then you said color, when you were saying the color word, it was like leaf that is whatever? Was it something like that?
No, like you wanted to say that's a green leaf, right?
Right, right.
So if you say utomfang, doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But uto is actually green.
Oh, okay.
Mfang is leaf. But if you say utomfang, it doesn't make sense.
Oh, okay.
But if you say mfang amiedu uto, that would mean this leaf is green.
Okay, okay.
That's what makes sense to us.
Right. So I assume there was some sort of verb there. So I put dot, 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 color, because I knew that it wasn't going to work the way that I was wanting it to work. And I found in all of her, I didn't know what she was saying, but I assumed because I know how languages work that they don't have a word for blue. Is that true?
That's true.
So they use the word green for blue. And her, you see, I drew all these sticks. I drew all these little things. Those were because her language has different pitches that change the meaning of the word. I didn't get them all right, but I tried my very best. I don't speak a tonal language. So, mfang, right?
You got it right.
M is up here, and then fang, down. So that, if I had said mfang, she would have said, no, that's
it
not the same word.
It means a totally different thing.
Something totally else. Okay? Y'all have any questions for me? Thank you. Thank you so much. She did a fantastic job, by the way. It's really hard to be up here and to know, because I'm writing in English, to know that I'm doing everything wrong and to just have to sit quietly and not speak any English to me and to also be like the authority on her language. You did a fantastic job. Thank you so much for... Please
Thanks.
Applaud her. Thank you.
Better? I think it's better. Okay, thank you. I'm going to pass around the last two New Testaments in the Arapesh language. 12,000 or more speakers in Papua New Guinea. Pass these around so you can take a look. So we're in another row. And while we're sharing, you can talk about these, I guess, yeah. So I guess I should really... say just a little bit, there's better, just a little bit about my background. Some of you have heard it. I was born in Portland, Oregon, and in a wonderful way through a cousin singing the Christian songs. I was convicted and became a believer. That's it, and was baptized in 1947. by a brother, Noah Schrock, in Portland, Oregon. While going to college, God gave me a wife from Bremen named Joanne Kloffenstein in a wonderful way, we prepared to go to the mission field to translate the word for some groups that didn't have it, because we had been serving in our church project in northern Alabama for 2.5 years. God led us to a copy of Reader's Digest written by the founder of Wycliffe Bible Translators, Cameron Townsend. The title of the book, the article, was 2,000 Tongues to Go. And God spoke to us that we were supposed to be involved in helping, as at least one group would have the scriptures in their own language, and that there could be people that would come to know the Lord, and that a church would be established. Some of you know Brother John Huber, who used to be the chairman of the Harvest Call. I talked to him for 2 minutes at our last missionary conference in Roanoke, and this is what he said. He poured out his heart in 2 minutes. "I'm interested in church planting. That's the bottom line for Bible translation. Not to just have a mechanical thing done like this wonderful. It needs to be done first. Not just to have that. Not just have books printed. Not just have them sit on the shelf. Not just have people read them. But have people truly be born again of the Spirit of God and form a local church in a way that God leads." And so I'd like to share about that. I think you all probably know the scriptures, but I'll just go over the one especially that speaks to us from the Luke 24, when our Lord Jesus Christ opened their minds, the minds of the disciples, that they might understand the scriptures. Then what did he tell them? Well, it was that the worldwide preaching of the gospel should go everywhere. And that's what he told them. And we're here today because we're looking for more workers. Don't any of you young people think that you're too young. There's one student in our school at the present time. This is in Dallas. There's one student at the present time. She said God called her to be a Bible translator in the third grade. That includes most of all you. So realize that this is something that you should pray about sincerely and think about it for the future and the present. There's three things that you need to reconsider very seriously if you're going to go into Bible translation. The first one is that you have to really get into God's Word and let God's Word speak to you on the promises, the warnings, the commands, and everything. And also the second one, on prayer, to really get into close to God in prayer according to His promises and know Him personally in a wonderful way. And the third one, for all of you in our church, you really, because there's going to be difficulties and problems and trials along the way as you follow God toward the Bible translation ministry, you're going to have these trials and things. So you need to have at least one elder who is with you in spirit and able to encourage you and help you. That's how our first full member got all through our whole school and is now serving in a very isolated and needy country. What you can't even say the name, the code name is Tomaland. And the sister was with us there for 2 years. She's from originally from Minnesota, but has a lot of background in Illinois also. This is Heather Steiner, Sister Heather Steiner. She's there now learning the language and will be working as God leads after she learns the language better. And we do have contact with her day by day. And it was through her, the elder in Illinois, Steve Souter. Some of you know him. He's the one that encouraged her and helped her and guided her over the rough spots. And it's wonderful to have the fellowship with someone like that to encourage you, and that's very, very necessary. So we get now to the second passage from Matthew 9. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So are we supposed to just know that? No. We're supposed to pray and ask God that He will send workers into the harvest field. That's why we're here. That's why God sent Miguel and me and opened our hearts of our leaders here to come. There's no other way, but the laborers will have to go. And then the last point is from Matthew 28, near the end. Jesus, our Lord, said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." That's impossible to fulfill that command if these people do not have some of the scriptures in their own language. That's why we translate the Bible, so that we can fulfill that wonderful command that God has given us. So the bottom line is church planting. God bless us in our time in I guess I should go back and say as it started a little back farther on that God sent us out in 1962, February 62. We left at that time. You didn't go by airplane. You went by luxury liner because you had to take all your stuff with you. We had five drums of stuff. And going on the luxury liner, they put us in the lowest class next to the motors. It was a little noisy, but it was okay. And when we got to the place for departure on the ship, that was Oakland, California. There's an organization there that helps missionaries. It's called Home of Peace at Oakland. When we got there, we realized we didn't have enough money to pay for the ship. But they told us right away, as soon as we got there, we had a letter. And in that letter was just exactly the right amount of money that we needed to pay for the bill on the ship. And it came for one of our brothers in Indiana. If you want to know who it was, you can ask for me afterward. I'm not sure if he's still alive or not. But we praise God for the way that he has provided all the way. We went to Papua New Guinea then in February 62. God showed us very clearly. We wanted to go to a place where there was no church and no Christians at all, and God gave us the right place. The people were cannibals and headhunters, and when we arrived there, it was difficult. It took us about a year to get ready because they said it was so swampy. Our senior missionary is so swampy, you can't build a house. We had to build a houseboat 12 feet wide, 26 feet long, on top of two dugout canoes. And God had prepared me for that. My father was a real experienced carpenter, and I worked with him a lot. After we got the house built, houseboat, we went up. My dear wife, Joanne, was the first white woman that any of those people had ever met. I was about the second or third or fourth white man that they'd ever seen, just the government patrol officers. And they didn't know how to treat us. They couldn't figure out exactly who we were or what we were. They were pretty sure we were either real people or else we were ancestral spirits, and they didn't really know which we were. But they needed to find out, and so the only way they could find out was to kill us. And if we survived, then we were ancestral spirits. In a special meeting where they decided to do that, we had many prayer partners. They didn't know. When you pay for missionaries, you don't always know the details. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But they were praying for us. And in that meeting to kill us, one of the people that was in that meeting, one of the locals, said, you know, it's better if we don't kill them. And so they didn't, and we survived. And by God's grace, we were able to continue. I won't go through all the details, but God showed us his great power and help. After 3.5 years, I got very, very sick and had to go out. We had to go out for 4 years, and we came back again after that as God provided and did most of the translation work. At that time, we couldn't go to the same place. We gave that for a project to another mission, and they finished it, and there are churches there. And we went to another group. As our director said, we had to go to a group that had a road that led to a hospital. That was we had to have that kind. The other one was too isolated. So we did, and God provided in a wonderful way. The first place we went, it's the vernacular name is Solo Basumu. God led us to that place just in a wonderful way. At that time, not always, but at the right time, God has times all these things right. We had a helicopter based at our small jungle base. And the best pilot for all our helicopters. And we ended up at that village and asked if we could spend the night. And talk to them a little about their word, their in their language, about a story? And you know, they said, sure, sure. It was the most wonderful meeting that we've ever probably had. They all gathered together. They didn't know what was going to happen. And every time it was as quiet. Normally those are very, very loud meetings, but this one was very, very quiet. All the women that had young children, they all quieted them down. Every dog and cat that was there, they all were really quiet, and it was they could hear very, very well. We read from the passage in 2 Timothy, Christ the mediator between God and man. And this paralleled a story, a practice that they had traditionally. And so that gave us, it's what's called a redemptive analogy. And the analogy that worked with that was that they had this practice, as every group has to have when they're fighting. They fight a lot, but when they need to stop fighting, there has to be a way to do it. And the way that they do it is one of the important men stands up in the middle and says, it's enough. And they stop. And that man is like Jesus Christ as he's a mediator between God and man for us. And they got that. After we finished talking, I asked for questions or comments. No one said anything for a long time. I thought, boy, I really blew it. We didn't understand, but I knew it was, the language was very, very similar. And finally, one of the leaders said, well, you know, we have never had a Christian meeting in our village before. Never. When are you guys coming back? We made an appointment with the helicopter pilot on the return trip. God so led in a wonderful way. A number of people truly repented and turned to the Lord, and the church was started there. And it was added to later on. It's very remote. And so when we finally finished the New Testament, and that was in 96, I think that's the first one we finished, two or more of those men walked all the way. It's a long, long walk. We couldn't have ever done it. To the dedication of that New Testament, the first one, the name of the language is Bukkegeep, and they got their copies of the New Testament in that language as well as other things. And that church, as far as we know, is still continuing at the present time. That's Solobus Umu. The second church plant that I want to tell you went a little bit different. I'll have to stop for just a minute. The second one, we went and asked the people, it was a long walk. We asked them, is it okay if we read something from your language? And they said, sure. I started reading from the Gospel of Mark, and every time I stopped to take a breath, this one leader gave a huge noise, something like, oh, when you translate that freely, that means this is something in our language. And some of the people were really interested. Then a false cult came in and told them, you got to go down to the ocean two hours away and be baptized because Jesus is coming back next week, otherwise you'll be left. And every single person in that group went down, except for one. And that one was the one that was really interested in the scriptures that we shared. And I can't really remember his name right now either, but at any rate, then when I realized they came back and Jesus hadn't come yet, they didn't know exactly what to do. And that one man that has the great interest that God had given him, he walked all the way to where he lived. That was about a year later, approximately, and he said, three magic, wonderful words that we were so glad to hear. He said, "Okay, we're ready." And at that time, we were involved in other translations and literature. God provided a man that knew that language well. It was well trained in the scriptures. And he went instead of us, and the church is planted there, and it's still going today. It's not like here, of course. You have no building. Just people sit on logs or stones. No lights. It's meetings at night. If you have a flashlight, you're okay. Otherwise, not. And we went back many times or sometimes to check on them. And I'll just close with the testimony of this one man from that group. At that time, he was probably about between 50 and 60 years old. He was, of course, his history was he was involved. In fact, he was a leader in the spirit worship. He said, "Before, I was an important man. Now, I am nothing. I gave it all up to follow Jesus Christ." Praise the Lord. You're going to pray, brother?
I'm going to have you pray in a minute.
Okay.
Thank you, brother. I would like to say, this is about what God could do in everybody's heart. And if there's somebody here this morning that is not converted, the first step is to cry out to Christ and give your heart and life to Him. And then He moves us in the way that we should go, which is what your story is too, Bob.
Yeah, absolutely.
So someone texted me, thank you, and asked to hear Miguel's story about how he was led to it. So I told him to keep it short. But Miguel, come on up and hear his story, why he got into Bible translation, and then Brother Bob will close with prayer.
Am I on? Okay. So I want to share with you that the way to be involved in Bible translation doesn't mean necessarily that you're the one that goes all the way over there. What you are passionate about, God wants to use that thing that you love. When I first started following Jesus when I was in 2012, I started exploring a bunch of things that I loved. I followed music for a while, and that fell through. I followed teaching for a while, and that fell through. But since I was very, very young, I've always loved language learning, and I can't help but do that every single day of my life. And I had a minister tell me one time, that a good indication of your purpose in life is the thing that you can't help but doing. I've almost not missed one single day of language learning since 2014. I've done it almost every single day because I love it, not because I feel like I need to achieve anything. And God saw that in my heart, and He led me through a man who was discipling me, and I felt like my careers were over. I had ruined everything. I couldn't be the famous opera singer that I wanted to be. I couldn't be the fantastic middle school teacher that I wanted to be for years and years, retire at 56 years old as a middle school teacher. And he said, why have you not considered going to Dallas International University in Dallas? It's a wonderful place, and you're so great at linguistics, and you need to go. And I was like, no, not me. I didn't study linguistics. I don't know anything. I can't. And he was like, go, you should go. And I went, I visited, and I fell in love with the people so passionate for Jesus. And I saw that although the majority of the students there are pursuing Bible translation, I am one of the very few who is not. I'm pursuing linguistics. This is what I love. I love this part because Bible translation can't happen if someone like me is not there to describe the language for them. And so your ability to fly a helicopter or to maybe make a lot of money here so that you can contribute to somebody who needs that money to be able to go do that, then do it. Please do a fantastic job at what you love so that you can make the money to support them or so that you can contribute somehow. There is a way for you to use what you love to spread the gospel to all people, all of those people like you, those of you who did not know Jesus and know him now, who were hungering for him. I know I was so desperate for him, and when he finally came, I had the Bible to eat up to get to know him. And there are people who are yearning for him and don't have anything to go to. And your skills, your talents, your desires can help us to get there. So, thank you.
Amen. Let's all arise. Brother Bob, you pray with us, and then
all right.
Pray for the food we're going to have.
Okay. Thank you, Father, for bringing us all together today. We pray that you will take your word that we have heard and thought about, and the great need for Bible translators, and the way that you worked in this wonderful way in Brother Miguel's life. Dear Lord, we pray that you will help us to meditate on all of this. By your Holy Spirit, may this word and these principles fall deeply into our hearts and become a good guide for us in our life as we follow you in your word. We thank you for all the young people also here today. Again, we pray for any who do not have Christ as their Lord and Savior, that you will guide them and guard them and lead them to him in a wonderful, wonderful way, even maybe this afternoon. And we pray, Lord, also for our special thanksgiving for the fellowship we have here in our local church in Jesus Christ. Bless our food for strengthening and health and healing, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.